Well, thank you for starting us off and finishing the open mic set. I want to give Jen a little intro here. Jen Monroe holds a special place in my heart, as well as many of yours, I feel sure. If you don't know and love her already, after tonight, you certainly will. When I first met Jen, I was starting college, and she taught my freshman composition class. I was never the same. I started writing and later ended up in an MFA program at New England College with Jen. She has a new website if anybody wants to check it out. It's pretty spiffy. It's Poet Jen, thepoetgirl.com. But if you actually do poetjen.com, it comes up as well. And in her bio, it says that she strives to be a poet of love in all its forms. She has faith in the world despite its many failings and enjoys guiding students at Chester College of New England in their own journeys through writing. Jen is a founding and continuing member of the Regional Dead Dogma, wildly appropriate, poetry workshop, and has seen her work most recently accepted by Big Lux, Magna Poets, Third Wednesday, Off the Coast, OVS Magazine, The Permafrost, and Sunsets and Silencers. Ooh. Jen holds a bachelor's degree from St. Bonaventure University and a master's degree from the College of St. Rose and a master's of fine art degree in poetry from New England College. Please give Jen Monroe a warm New Hampshire welcome.
Thank you, everyone who read in the open mic. I feel this stage is already warmed up for me. You have an amazing voice, so you keep right on doing it. Don't let this be your last time, and you have beautiful images, so don't you stop either. And the rest of you, right on, okay? Because if we don't do it, no one else is going to, right? We have to support our own things that we love, which is why I teach and why I keep doing this, but I love it too. So thank you, Ivy, for pulling this together. Let me tell you a little bit more about my poetry. I tend to write, at least right now, I am tending to write short lyrics. They tend to be less than 10 lines long, but I write very long lines, and usually it's 1 to 3 sentences broken up over those lines. And my abstraction du jour, or of my life, is love. But I don't tend to write romantic or sentimental poems. And most of what I'm going to read tonight is from a chapbook which is growing into a full-length manuscript called Something More Like Love. And the majority of these poems have been written during April 2009, and then this past April 2010 for the 30-day challenge, 30 poems in 30 days. You should do it. It's great. Having prompts is lots of fun, as you know. So actually, the first one I'm going to start off with, though, because Gretchen brought to mind the horrible oil spill that has been happening now for 56 days. I want so desperately to write about what's happening because I feel so sad and so desperate about it. But there was no way that I could really approach it because you can describe what's happening, but that doesn't really get to the feeling of it. So I had this idea, what would happen if I took one of those newspaper articles from the New York Times and substituted the word love for the word oil? And some really interesting things started to happen. And then I thought, well, this would be a very interesting thing to do for a poem. So this one, I just finished this draft of it last night. So it's really, really new. It is tentatively titled Love for Oil. Imagine if love filled the Gulf of Mexico, gushed from a love well deep underneath the ocean floor, thick, fast, unobstructed. Imagine slicks of love, pelicans covered in love, plumes of love droplets on a collision course with pristine panhandle beaches, or caught up in hurricanes and crashed into seaside communities up and down the East Coast. Imagine a love spill irreparable, children up to their ankles at low tide, then to their waists, their chins. Media reports of failed efforts to recover the love on tankers to contain it. Imagine the mess we'd be in then. So don't feel as though you need to applaud after every poem, because they are short and there will be a succession of them. But if you feel the spirit take you, go right ahead. Go right ahead. I do what I can. This is to explain myself. This world needs a shakedown to set it straight on the path toward love. You glut on process, then tell me poetry doesn't mean anything. Expand a little. Look, there's that wall again. While you deny we've ever seen it, I'll be on my way over. Flail, fail, grow. Most flowers wait 3 years before first bloom. Conditions must be just right, even for the hardiest varieties. Judge me if you wish. I'll be outside your comfort zone, dancing and loving like crazy. The other thing you should know about these poems is that they are this sort of mashup of a trip I took to Puerto Rico last spring with a group of students from Chester College of New England, where I teach. My desperate love for surrealist poets and surrealism in general. And I got married. Where did he go? last August, and he's back there taking pictures. So there's that in there, too. Plus, I've been going through my journals from the past, I don't even know how many years, 8 years, and just picking out old relationships and sort of mushing all those things together. So there'll be some of those elements that sort of come together. This one is called Office Hours. Sitting in the comfy blue recliner, curled up with D.H. Lawrence's Gamekeeper, the window, slightly open, permits nearly warm April air to kiss my neck. Songbirds flirt in bright forsythia, yellow as hope, as the wishes my students whisper to fertile country air, that cling to the walls of the centenarian of a barn, that mix with late morning sun streams and swirl around me, tender as ghost, tender as love. This next one was just picked up and will come out this summer in Big Lux, which is a new journal. This will be its second issue. I'm very excited about that. It's called Drizzle. My peony's full scent is just a memory. You are here, then you are not, and your words tender bougainvillea petals. I'll gather lines like daisies if you show me what you intend to say. Where language fails, there is a beauty of a thing with strings attached, not rational, not patient, not kind. This day grows thick as vines, and in my mind, you live in a house of strawberries, keep warm by firefly, read by the tip of my tongue. We utter kale, jalapenos, but what we want to say is left to intertextuality, to stories that turn like watch hands.